Hello, fluid ones. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time of the day you're listening to this. And welcome to another episode of the Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. And it has been a great week so far. How has been your week? I hope you've been having an enjoyable week. What's the thing you've done the past 2 weeks? I can't really tell you what I've done in the past 2 weeks simply because I'm recording this way ahead of the time I'm going to be uploading it. So I don't even know what day or what month it's going to be when I upload this, but it's going to be a month. But I hope you've been having a great week. I hope you've been fluid. I hope you've been taking care of yourself and at the same time taking care of other people. You know, it's not enough to just be fine. We have to also, you know, try to make sure that people we care about and those who are around us are also fine. And before I get into what I'm going to be talking about today, I want to say a big thank you to every single one of you who has been listening to the podcast every single time. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting me and supporting the podcast. Thank you for supporting this bridge of wisdom where we seek to just bring a balance to discussions, you know, and different things. And thank you for feedbacks, for those of you who give feedbacks. Thank you for those of you who share. And thank you if you're new and you're just discovering this podcast. You're welcome to the Fluid Gang, you know, the Volatile family. And I hope you allow me to get to know you by signing up for the mail letter, the newsletter, the mailing list, or whatever it's called. The link will be in the description below. And don't forget to follow on social media, Instagram, Volatile with Daniel, and Twitter, Daniel Briggs, Briggs with a Z at the end, not an S. I know some of you, your keyboards might change it to an S, so it's a Z at the end. Yes, and I would love to know who you are. I'd love to chat with you. So, hey, follow me and chat me up. I'm almost always online, so yeah. Now, today, what I'm talking about today is actually inspired by both real life events and a movie. Yes, it's a mini series actually titled Hollywood. Now, in case you haven't seen it, I can't really describe it because I only just finished episode 2. You know, but something, you know, in episode 2 just struck me and I was like, yeah, I'm going to talk about this. And it just gave me context to talk about this. And that is the fight for the individual. How am I going to explain this? I should have sat down and thought of this more before I just turned on my recorder. But hey, okay, let's get into this, right? You know, who is an individual? I don't think we need an extravagant definition of who an individual is. Like, an individual is you, I, your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your best friend, your husband, your wife, you know, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your teacher, the person you hate, the person you love, you know, the person who sells you fuel or gas at the petrol station, the person who sells you biscuits by the side of the road, the person who sells you socks in Lagos traffic, the woman who cooks the best ewagon you've ever eaten in your life. Every single person is an individual. Every single person who has walked on this earth, even Jesus was an individual, you know. And an individual has an identity. And whenever we are going to be talking about that identity, we always use the pronouns his or her, you know, his life, her life, this and that. Or except if you don't go by those pronouns, you know. Yeah, but for the sake of this episode, I'm going to boil everyone down to the binaries, his and hers. An individual has a personality. An individual has dreams, has goals that are in and of themselves generated by the individual, right? But we live in a society where, you know, there's gender politics, there's intersectionality and all these kind of things, you know. And we have, in a way, estranged the identity of the individual in a way. Not too much, but in a way we have. Where we look at people through the eyes of the community they live in or the community they belong to first, before we see they themselves. So nowadays, when you look at a black person, you see a black man first before you see the man. When you look at an African-American sister or an African sister, you see the black sister first before you see the sister herself. And it's basically, you know, and there are different forms this takes in apart from the race. Take for instance, there are many people in Nigeria or just many people around the world who will understand this one. Growing up as a pastor's child, you are seen as the pastor's son, the pastor's daughter first, before you are seen as you by most people. Most people view you through the lens of the position that your father or your mother holds. You know, you are the minister's son, you are the minister's daughter, you are the president's daughter, you are Otedola's daughter, you are Otedola's son. That's how people look at you first. People don't tend to think of you as the individual first. They tend to think of you as something else, a group identity, before they think about you in through the lens of who you are as a person, divorced of your community. And I mean, the community you live in matters. It does. The community you belong to, the society you belong to matters. You understand? There is a place for the group identity and there's a place for the individual identity. But I think whenever we are looking at people, whenever we are talking about people, we should view them first, not through the lens of the race they belong to, but who they are, their actions. What values do they hold? What dreams do they aspire to achieve? You know, I was watching Hollywood and the character, I've forgotten their names, but the black writer and the half Asian director, you know, notice that the black writer and the half Asian director. Now, the setting of the miniseries is back, way back sometime in the history of America, where racism was still a major thing, where, you know, even though blacks had gotten civil rights as normal citizens, they weren't allowed in some restaurants, they couldn't get jobs, good jobs, and all those kind of things. You know, like, because it was a black writer, the movie would not sell, you know, all those kind of petty things. And they expressed something talking together. They wished that they wished for a world in Hollywood where they will no longer have to be the black writer. They'll just be the writer. They will no longer have to be the half Asian director. They'll just be the director, not defined by their race, not defined by where they were born, not be defined by what language they speak, but defined by the works of their hand, defined by their personality, defined by what it is that they have achieved, you understand? And it just struck me, and I know, you know, we've heard this talk so long, we heard this talk so many different times, but the fight for the individual has been a fight that has been in existence for a long, long, long time. You know, I've seen people quote the words of Martin Luther King Jr., who I have never read any of his works, to be honest. I've only watched a few videos on YouTube, and I used to even think he was the Martin Luther of the Reformation, you know. Ignorant me, right? Yeah, but, you know, I seem to remember watching a video on YouTube quoting his words, where it was, you know, where a black man and a black child would be able to walk on the streets without, you know, being identified by the color of their skin, but by who they are, their actions, you know, their value system and all those kind of things. And it's like, even then, the civil rights movement and all those things was the battle, not just for the race, but for the individual. The battle for people to be who they are, who they define themselves to be. And we see it in today, you know, with the move of the LGBT rights, with the move of trans rights, with the move of, you know, different kinds of religion, different kinds of political parties and everything. People want to be known for who they are. But one thing I've noticed also is that the more you fight for the individual, the more it promotes the community, because an individual ends up having values, ends up having aspirations that are not going to be unique to that individual. There's going to be one other person he's going to meet or she's going to meet that is going to have those similarities. And before you know it, two people become five, five people become 10, 10 people become 20, 20 people become 50. You already have a community. You already have, before you know it, you have a mini city. Before you know it, you have another type of race. Take for instance, let's take religion for instance, Christianity and, you know, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. Let's say all these things started with the ideas of one man, you know, with the dreams and aspirations of one man. And I am not boiling down religion to just dreams and aspirations of one person. The religion is so much more than that. But just stay with me. imagine it's that, you know, it started with somebody's ideologies and then somebody else came and loved those ideologies, so the person now adopted that. It became two people. Before you know it, it became five. Before you know it, it became 10. Before you know it, it became 50. Before you know it, it became 150. Before you know it, it became 350. Before you know it, it became 1,000. And what do you know? You have a religion, then you end up having a community. Now, it started as an individual, but then it developed into the community. So now it's now a question of how do you view the individual in life now? Or let me create another one. Take, for instance, political parties, conservative and liberals, right? You started as a conservative in the only... You are the only conservative in a liberal family, right? And then you meet a friend one day. He's a conservative. She is a conservative. You meet somebody else, conservative. Before you know it, you have started building an extra family apart from your birth family, right? And then before you know it, you will find a larger community of people who are also conservatives and then adopt yourself into that. In fact, in a way that can be seen as belonging to a different race than another one that you were born with, you know. So it's like an individual will always become a part of a community. No matter how much of a loner you want to be, you always become a part of a community. But the crucial part of it still is, even in that community, do you exist as the individual before or after the community? It's a question I've pondered a lot. Do you exist as the individual before the community existed or after the community existed? Are you a black man before black people existed or after black people existed? Okay, maybe that's not a good way to put it, but it's like you grow up in a black community, right? But how do you see yourself? Are you a person? Are you an individual? Or is everything about you, first off, promoted and generated by the community you live in? In other words, is it community values that created your individualism, or is your individualism only integrated with the community values? Take, for instance, you know, if there are some people who are racially ambiguous, you understand, you look at them, you cannot tell whether they are African, whether they are Asian, whether they are this, whether they are that, you know. Or take, let me boil it down to Nigeria. Sometimes I've been in places where people look at me and people assume I am Igbo, or some people assume I'm Calabar, and some people assume I am Hausa. That one, Hausa one, I do not know what kind of eyes they are looking at me with, but I do not know. But you know, people assume what race you belong to, right? But I am Yoruba. I'm proud to be Yoruba. Doesn't mean I am a typical Yoruba man, but still, I'm proud to be Yoruba. And it's like, you look at me and you automatically start trying to figure out what tribe in Nigeria I belong to. To figure out how you relate with me. And I understand that, you know, you want to understand, you want to see what kind of language I'll have, what kind of accent I'll have, what are the value systems I'll have as a Yoruba man, right? But for me, it's like I am a man before I am a Yoruba man. So I most likely hold values. I most likely talk in ways that a typical Yoruba man would not talk, hold values that might not be typically Yoruba. You understand? So it's like, for me, I am an individual before the community. My individual values only got integrated with my community or tribal values. You understand? So I hope you guys are understanding what I'm basically saying. Like, the fight for the individual has always been a ever standing one and an ever confusing one, because some people cannot differentiate when you are an individual. Are you an individual before your community or after your community? You understand? So I've seen this online where some people are like, you know, some people always take everything by race. You understand? Always take everything by race. You know, you see an angry man, you know, instead of just saying an angry man, you see people go on and say an angry white man or an angry black man. You understand? In different things like that, and the person even gets annoyed about the fact that you are bringing race into this. Or, you know, I've heard this stereotype a lot, you know, that black women have a lot of drama. And it's like, why can't you just say these women have drama, the women you've seen, and not just assume that all women with the black skin color have drama? And normally women have drama, we are not disputing that, but I'm just saying, why does that have to be an identification by race first instead of by character? Because when you identify by character, you become closer to being much more objective about the nature of a person. rather than when you view them through the struggles or through the value system of a community. So I just wanted to talk about it. Like, think about it. When are you an individual? Before or after the community you belong to, the race you belong to, the society you belong to? You know, our parents' generations, and I'm already making a segregation, you know, our parents' generation always look at us as the generation of the mobile phone, the Android phone, the smartphone, the internet, the Facebook generation, even though their generation uses Facebook more than we do, right? You know, my parents spend just as much time as I do on the phone, or maybe even sometimes probably more than I do. And it's like they discriminate against my generation as being always on their phone, right? And it's like, okay, why can't you just ask, what am I, your son, doing on the phone, rather than just boil it to, you know, everybody my age is just doing nonsense on their phone? Like, yeah, sure, some people my age are just doing nonsense on their phone, but that doesn't mean I am. I mean, sure, sometimes I do nonsense on my phone, but I want to be seen as the boy, the son, who does nonsense on his phone, rather than the younger generation guy who does nonsense on his phone. So yeah, I always get pissed off when people look at me through the lenses of a community or a race first, before looking at me as just Adisa Daniel, you know. So, but I also understand that as an individual, you have to belong to a community. You will belong to a community. You cannot avoid it. And the reason why you belong to that community, sometimes either you are born into or you integrate into it, is because there are a set of values that belong to that community that reflect in your individuality. So yeah, people will try to determine what community you belong to, what race you belong to, what society you belong to, just to be able to figure out the basic values that you hold, the principles that apply to you, right? But most people do not have the capacity on first meeting to look beyond that. And, you know, it in a way, it erases who you are as an individual first. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, you know. So what do you think? Do you agree with me? Do you have some sentiments that you mirror? Do you disagree totally, completely? In fact, I'd love to have somebody on the podcast talking about this particular issue, but I do not really know who to go to concerning with this. So if you have suggestions, please bring, or if you know you have thoughts you would like to, you know, pass through, and you just like us to talk about, you know, just one-on-one. You might not want to do a podcast feature, you might just want to, you know, have a dialogue online or something. I'm willing to have that, you know. Just hit me up. My email is altdanbriggs@gmail.com. you can hit me up on my socials at Volatile with Daniel on Instagram, and at Daniel Briggs on Twitter. But yeah, that's it. If you like this episode, please give it a like, please give it a comment, please give it a rating, please give it whatever it is that is needed to make sure that the algorithm knows that my podcast exists. And please share with other people. And, you know, spark up this discussion among your friends. What do you guys think? Do you agree? Is the fight for the individual important? Is it necessary still? Or it's not, you know? Anyway, peace out. Bye-bye.